Oh, we're so grateful, our Father. Glory of your kingdom is you always keep your word. You've made magnificent promises. You've made exceeding abundantly above provision. And you always carry through. We're never disappointed, maybe with ourselves, but never with you. Never with you. You're always standing by. You're always the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. You're always present. Always the healer. Always our righteousness. Always the captain of our victory, of our salvation. Thank you for the abundant provision. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We can depend on your word. You are God who never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means what you said you meant and what you meant comes to pass. We believe that. Amen. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Third John. Last week we talked about the plan of redemption. Luke 1 said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and redeemed his people, set forth a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." That's a prophecy of Zacharias. Said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited," which means he came for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to redeem. The word redeem means to ransom or to pay the price to set someone free. There was a story on the slave block, a young girl who was being auctioned off. The process of auctioning off a slave is absolutely horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And the mother was there, and she kept weeping and crying out to God and crying out to God. Well, one of the buyers bought the young girl and returned her, set her free, returned her to her mother. That's ransom. That's redeem. That's to pay the price. When you're redeemed, your sins are remitted, blotted out. Y'all who are so musically inclined know the old song, "Gone, gone, gone, gone." Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, it's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E, gone. When choruses first came out, they weren't glorious, but they did carry the right message. So you've been redeemed. The price has been paid. Your sins have been remitted. You've been reconciled to God, or you're in unity with God. That's why the scripture is, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ." You're united to Christ. You have peace through what Jesus has done and through your faith in what Jesus has done. Then you've been reconciled, united, at peace, and you've been recreated. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature, recreated. Now, I was raised in church, but I didn't learn very much. I don't know if I wasn't listening or they didn't say very much. We'll leave that as it may. But past John 3:16, I wasn't sure of anything, and I was not aware we were a tripart being. Were you? Spirit, soul, and body? That was a total new concept to me. And it is the spirit man, the man on the inside, which Paul called the inward man, that's recreated, that's born new. You are not who you were. Amen. It's a good thing. You are new. So now you are the righteousness of God, which means you're fully acceptable to God. You've been reconciled. You're at peace with God. Your sins have been blotted out or remitted. You are now acceptable to God, righteousness. You've been redeemed. The price was paid for your deliverance, for your freedom. The price is paid. When you pay a bill, it's called a remittance. You don't have to pay that but one time. They're not going to send you a second bill and say, "We want another $174.20. Because you're smart enough to say, "I'm not giving you another." Because that bill is paid, and your bill is paid, but you have to receive that with your faith. Now, we did all that last week. That's a review. When you come into the kingdom of God, you have eternal life, and that doesn't mean to live forever. The sinner's going to live forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. It means to have the life of the eternal one. This new creature has the life of the eternal one and is on the road to glory, on the road to his heavenly home. Now, on that road is a multitude of blessings. I didn't know that either. You know, we just thought you get saved and you do the best you can, you get to go to heaven when you die. Is that what you thought? That's what I thought. But that's not true. There's a multitude of blessings, and that's what I want to prove to you today, that you're on the road to glory and there's a multitude of blessings, and healing is one of those blessings. Now look, I gave you an outline. I'm not going to go exactly by it. But your first scripture, what I did was give you the King James and one translation that I really like. I like translations. Sometimes they clarify the English for us. He said, Beloved, verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Beloved. Now, let's don't get confused here. You are God's beloved. God so loved the world. He loved all of them. He rescued all of them who would receive the remittance that was paid. That's because one man told me this only applied to Gaius. It doesn't apply to you. How dumb can you get and still breathe? That means God doesn't love the world. It means he's a respecter of person, and you might be one that's marked off. And you see, that's not right. So he said, I wish above all things. Now, that's an important phrase. That's a key phrase. I wish above all things. When we used to travel, we had dogs. A friend of ours got us in the dog business. She wanted Suzanne to have a dog. She thought every child should have a dog. I didn't agree with that, but she's going to air freight the dog. Only she found out that wasn't possible. And so she sent us a large check and said, get a dog. So we had a dog and then another dog. And then one time we had three dogs. We had dogs. So when we traveled overseas, we had to find somebody to sit with the dogs. Now, you can do a lot of things at my house while you're sitting. I mean, you can run the vacuum if you want to. You can load the dishwasher. But the priority is to feed the dog, to take care of the dog. That's why you're there. Now, one lady, a young lady that sat for us, who agreed to sit for us, didn't come every day and didn't stay at night. I said, this dog is used to companionship. I'm hiring you to stay at the house with the dog. Well, she didn't. And I knew that because we had a can of dog food a day and we had about four cans left over. She didn't even come and feed the dog every day. See, and that was my priority. I don't care if you load the dishwasher. I'd be pleased if you did. What I cared about, above all things, feed the dog, talk to the dog, watch TV with the dog. I don't know if your dog likes to watch TV or not. I think they're just watching the picture move. We can watch somebody else move, or we can hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. And we can receive what's paid for, redeemed, ransomed, paid for, set free, sins erased, in unity with God, new creature, life eternal. There's a lot of blessings that go with that. And the first blessing mentioned here, I wish above all things, this is God's priority, that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers, that you prosper. Now, that doesn't have a whole lot to do with money, though it includes money. We think prosper, we think money, 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 but prosper here means a successful trip on the road of life. You can look that up in Strong's Dictionary. It means to help down the road of life, to succeed on the road of life. Well, that means if you're doing down the road, you want a parking space, you want the good that you're after to be on the shelf. Have you ever been? Gone to a lot of trouble and they didn't have any? We went five places looking for a bottle of shampoo, and it isn't an irregular shampoo. The other day, yesterday, Wayne came home with, he said, we don't use the same shampoo. And this was his, so that was more important to him than to me. And we finally found it, but it's disappointing to go down the road of life to get in your car to drive to find a parking place to get out. It wasn't at Walgreens, and they didn't have it at Walmart. Went to two Walmarts. Doesn't matter where we went, it wasn't there. But see, when you follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow. When you follow him and follow his word, the shelves are loaded for you. The blessings are ready for you. Now, you have to access them with your faith. They don't just fall on you. It means you prosper. You have a successful trip in life. I told you last week, when I see you on the and talk to you on the street and run into you somewhere at some store, and I say, well, you have a good day, that's what this word prosper means. It means you have a good day. Anything you need, everything you need comes to you today. And that's what I mean. I want you to have a successful shopping trip. I want you to have a parking space. I don't want you to get a ticket. I want you to be alert and not be hit by any car. I want you to have somebody to help you to carry your baggage to your car if you need help. Have a good day. And that's what this means. The blessing on the road of life. Here is eternal glory, and here we are headed down this road of life. And what the first blessing we see on this road of life is that we're going to have day after day good days. Well, have you ever had a day that wasn't so good? Wayne called somebody, I forget why I called him, and he said, well, have you had a good day? And they said, no. That's the opposite of prosperity. That means things did not go well for them that day. God wants you to have day after day of good days, not bad days. You know a bad day, your car didn't crank, your battery was dead, your tire was flat. You know, I hate to mention this to we who are so old, but in the olden days, if you had a flat tire, you didn't have any phone. You had to wait till somebody came along and offered to help you. You remember that? I remember Mother and I, and my sister Debbie was with us, on a highway that runs between Bartow and somewhere, maybe Fort Meade, and we're sitting on the side of the road because Mother can't change a flat tire. Debbie and I are too little to change a flat tire. We're waiting on help. That's not a good day. But see, God's as close as the mention of his name. Jesus, Jesus, he's as close as a mention of his name. When I have trauma, he said he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In recent days, that became so significant to me, the God of all comfort. I've quoted that verse and taught the mercy of God many, many times. I never thought about the end of the verse, the God of all comfort. The God who keeps you comfortable. The God who hears your cry. The God who says, fear thou not. Why? I'm with you. Now, I'm never afraid if Wayne is there. We had a missing Christmas present. Just missing, gone. It was delivered to our house, supposedly, but we didn't get it. Wayne found it yesterday. In the woods. We have woods. We have acreage with heavy woods in part. And there it was, in the woods. And UPS had delivered it. And somebody had found it before we did. And had taken it away. And there it was since Christmas, since way before Christmas, it's been in the woods. That's not a good day. But see, everything that belongs to you comes to you. Every day is a good day. And if you have a day like that, that's something is not going well for you, the God of all comfort. Now, if I roll over in the night and go, oh, you probably don't do that, but you're probably not as old as I am. Wayne, he's alert. He'll say, what, do you need anything? And I'm comforted in his presence. And you have within your spirit man, in this new man, you have the presence of God who said, I will be with you, fear thou not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Dismayed is when you're upset, uptight, strung out. You ever been there? You know those words? Be not dismayed. I'm with you. In other words, you're never alone. He's always with you. You don't have to be dismayed. He's there to comfort you, and he's there to bring solution. And all I have to do is believe that and say, oh, thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. And above all things, he said, above all things, I want to be there for you to see that you have a successful trip in life. That's why Paul said, I've learned in all things to be content. Because he knew the God of comfort. Now, you got all that? I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health. He's not talking about healing. He's talking about never getting sick. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Did you know that was your goal? That's where you're headed? That's what God wants. He said, above everything else, I want your health. Above everything else. Now, if Wayne says, what you want for supper, or where do you want to go for supper, or are we going to fix supper? I'm looking for my above everything else menu. Sometimes that's not possible from the refrigerator, you know, those days. One gentleman, he said he opened his refrigerator and he closed it, and he opened it and he closed it, and he opened it and he closed it, and his wife finally said, "What in the world are you doing? Always open the refrigerator." He said, "Every time I open this refrigerator, I lower my standard." That is not a prosperous day. That is not a good day. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to have a successful journey for life. He wants your refrigerator to be full. He wants your body to function perfectly. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Now, even as your soul prospers, this is how it's going to come to pass. The soul is the mind, the will, and emotions. In other words, it's not just going to fall on you. Dr. Hagin always said, like ripe cherries off a tree, but not ever having seen a cherry tree, I made inquiries. I said, when cherries are ripe, do they actually fall off of the tree? And I was told by the expert that they do. And that's what we'd like. All that God wants for me just to go, there you are. Take it and run, Becky. Go for it. We don't want to put much effort into it. But if here's how your soul prospers. It's in verse 3, so we don't have to do any guessing. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee, even as I walk in the truth. That's how you're going to prosper. That's how your soul's going to prosper. You've got the truth in you. Well, John 17, I think verse 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. The truth is found in God's word. He said, I want above all things you to prosper and be in health. That's the truth. That's the word of God. That's the promise of God. That's the commitment of God. That's the goal. And that's where your faith should stand. The truth has to be in you. Well, growing up, why didn't I know the truth? I was in church. We went to 4 things on Sunday, 2 on Wednesday night because we had to go to choir practice because Daddy was the church musician. And I thought, you know, you get saved, you believe in the cross. Not much was said about the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the cross is effortless. Did you know that? And when you go through the book of Acts, they always say death and resurrection. Because if he had just died, the Pharisees and Sadducees had been happy campers. They don't care. They killed him. They wanted him dead. But when Peter got up, Paul, and they've been preaching resurrection, they were some kind of upset. They'd killed him. They wanted him dead and do not preach him back to life. And yet he lives. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. See, no matter what your body tells you, you know the living Savior, the living Savior. Now, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to believe that and say it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know what we do? My knee is killing me. I mean, everybody's guilty, so no, I'm not throwing stones at anybody. At my house, we have an overseeing team that watches your words. It is painful. When we first came into the kingdom, we didn't know words made any difference. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt you. We didn't know words made any difference at all. And then we found out it did. We found out you need to say what God was saying. Well, that would only make sense, wouldn't it? Say what God is saying. So when we'd say something wrong, someone you know well would say, would you like to repeat that and say it differently? And I'd have to think. Because I don't know how to say it any differently. Because the truth is not in me. I just heard the truth. I mean, I just heard it. So I've got to do some meditating day and night. Psalms 1. You have that scripture. Somewhere on the back of your sheet, maybe. I gave them to you so you can take them home. Now look at the voice translation. God's blessing follows you and awaits you at every turn. That's prosperity, is it not? When you don't follow the advice of things who delight in wicked schemes, when you avoid sin's highway, when judgment and sarcasm beckon you and you refuse. Boy, that'd be good, wouldn't it? I mean, your heart says, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. And then you say it and you think, oh. I knew I shouldn't have said that. For you, the eternal's word is your happiness. It's your focus from dusk till dawn. That's what I like. It's your focus from dusk till dawn. In other words, I'm a word person, and I meditate. The word meditate means to mutter. It means to talk to yourself. Now, I know they tell you people talk to themselves are crazy, but God said if you talk to yourself and you talk the Word of God, then you place the Word of God on the inside, and it grows larger and larger and larger, and it paves the road. It's the Word of God that prospers you, that paves the road for health and prosperity to come to you. Is that amazing? I wish above all things that you prosper. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. You can't walk in something you don't know, you haven't heard. A lady called me one day and she's going to bake a coconut cake and she wanted to know if this icing was granulated sugar or confectioner's sugar. Well, my mama used to make that all the time. That was her specialty. And when we all get to heaven, coconut cake's going to be there. I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. Well, I couldn't remember. See, because I hadn't meditated day and night, I hadn't focused on that in recent years, I couldn't remember what kind of sugar it was. It just left my thinking. And I said, I can't even help you because I can't remember. So she called me back later and she said, well, I'll tell you one thing, it's not confectioner's sugar. It's amazing that you have two choices and you chose the wrong one. You ever done that?
Yes.
Huh? Look at Psalms 1. That means we've got to give some effort to this. We've got to give some time to this. We've got to go over this and over this and over this. I was an A student, but I worked hard for those A's. Suzanne was an A student. She didn't work at all. She looked at the material 30 minutes before the final and made an A. I could not do that. I mean, I worked and I went over it and over it and over it and read it. I memorized the glossary one time because the teacher said the final test would be from the glossary, and I studied all day long and I could quote the glossary from A to Z, but it wasn't easy. It didn't come easy. I put effort into it. I put time into it. When you focus on the Word of God, you're given a little bit of time. And when you do, the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside, that's in the new creature, He can teach you. He brings things to your remembrance. He can teach you. I have memorized the words of those songs, and we sang some of those a lot. But the Holy Ghost on the inside, as I teach, He brings them up from my spirit. And He'll bring the scripture up from your spirit. But it's going to be hard to bring it up if you didn't deposit it. You can't go to the bank and take out $1 million. I'm assuming nobody can. I'm just making an assumption. Because you didn't put it in there. And you can open the refrigerator, and if you didn't buy ketchup, it's not in there. You can stand there and you can cry and beg and plead, but you didn't buy it. Jesus bought it. He ransomed. He paid. Your bill is paid. And all you have to do is to say, oh, thank you, Father. Fear thou not. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm God. Now, if I said, I'm your mother, what would that mean? If I adopted a child and said, I'm your mother, this is your father, that means we're going to educate you, we're going to give you clothes, we're going to supply all your medical needs, we're going to do for you, be to you, all that a mother and father. Do you know that's what He said to Abraham? God said to Abraham, I am your father. I am God, He said. I am God. I am. That means I can depend upon Him. That child can depend upon us to do the right thing. Amazing, isn't it? I am God. Same thing. So I'm your mother. All righty. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means don't get your advice from the sinner. I don't care if it is your best friend. One girl asked me a question. I answered her question, and she said, I don't think that's right. So I opened my Bible, and I took her to the scripture, and I read her the scripture, and she said, that can't be right. That can't be right. I'm reading it. And then she said, that isn't what my mother told me. She's getting her advice from the counsel of the ungodly. I said, love your mother. Take your mother to lunch. Talk about the dog, the new sofa, the paint color, the wallpaper, but don't talk about Jesus with your mother unless you're doing all the preaching. And I thought, with your educational level, spiritual education, maybe you should just stick with the sofa and the dog. That's not where you get your advice. You go to the Word and you read the Word, and the Holy Ghost on the inside teaches you that Word. And as I internalize that Word, as my soul begins to prosper, that means what I know here by the Holy Ghost comes up to my mind, and my mind is more and more renewed, and I'm growing more and more mature. And then when I put out my faith for blessings, my faith for health, my faith for healing, my faith for prosperity, my faith to get successfully from one goal to another, that begins to work for me because my soul is prospering. And my soul prospers because I put a little effort into it. A lot of effort, actually. And then it says that stands in the way of sinners. Don't stand there. That means, you know, when you stand with somebody, they're going to influence your thinking. If you stand very long, you're going to repeat what they said, and they're going to say, that doesn't seem right to me. And they'll say, well, that's what Martha told me. You better watch where you get your information, and where you get your information from the Holy Ghost through the Word. That's how your soul prospers. When your soul prospers, you're in health. When your soul prospers, see, and it says faith and patience inherits the promise. So instant, I love instant. But instant doesn't work very often. There was a man who went to a healing meeting. He sat on the back row. He told us. He sat on the back row. And somebody behind him poured coffee down his shirt. And he turned around, he's going to rebuke them. He turned around to say, you better watch what you're doing. There's nobody behind him. He was instantly healed by the glory of the Lord. I love that. But faith and patience. Sometimes it's a longer road than you'd like to walk. But it's not an empty road. We're traveling to glory. You knew that, didn't you? It's a road with many blessings. Many, many blessings. And the God who is the covenant God, who always keeps his word, said, I'll be with you. I'll be God to you. Amen. That means I'll meet all your need out of my riches and glory. I will. Then he says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful, those people that are angry, bitter. And when you sit with them, their attitude is going to influence you. You don't want the advice of sinners. You don't want to internalize the attitude of people that are angry. And you don't want to be influenced by ungodly men. He's warning us, stay away from that. Stay away from that. And then he says, your delight's in the law of the Lord. Now, when you delight in something, that would be lemon. I like chocolate, but I don't love chocolate. But every now and then, I make a lemon or a lime cheesecake. I was just thinking about the other day. I said to Suzanne, it's just about lemon cheesecake time. It's a relatively big deal. But oh, so worth it. I love that. Well, when I grew up, we read our Bible every day. Did y'all go to that church? We read our Bible every day. And one night I forgot. And I woke up and I thought, oh, I haven't read my Bible. It wasn't that I was learning anything. I was just getting a check mark. When I go, they say, did you read your Bible every day? And you say, yes, I did. And they check. You get extra points, see. Along with perfect attendance and being on time, several other things. And I looked over at the clock and I thought, oh, it's not midnight. I jumped out of bed and grabbed my Bible and turned to the scripture of the day, and I read that. Well, I'm just doing it not to learn or to grow, not to draw near. I just want the check mark. You see, that won't work. That won't work. Your heart has to be in it. You ever turn on your TV, you just have a moment. We're not big TV watchers. We just have a moment when you just want to waste your time. You can write that down. TV is a waste of time. Unless you're on the preaching channel. And some of that is a waste of time. I told Wayne, I just got to have something I don't have to pay attention to. I don't have to remember. I don't have to draw from the Holy Ghost. Just find me some way to waste my time. Well, there's only a couple programs that you can even waste your time on. And sometimes they're not so good. But you can't just read because you're supposed to. You read because God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you and He's saying, Becky, I want you to prosper and be in health. When you think, I haven't had the flu in 20 years, I think, that is health. I'm in health. Oh, maybe it's one little avenue of health. It's a great avenue. Think, oh. Your delight's in the law, Lord, and in the law does He meditate day and night. It means that's your focus, and that's what the voice said. Your focus from dawn till dusk is what is God saying. And then, if you don't know what God is saying to you today, keep your TV off.
That's right.
You have no right to watch TV and you haven't put God first. You can say that I said that, because that's the truth. And every now and then I do that myself. Wayne knows I like to read about an hour before I go to bed. And sometimes I'm just sitting in my chair. I have his mother's gooseneck recliner. God is so good. Every time I'd see one of those on the antique market, I'd say, oh, I love those. Do you know what I'm talking about? The gooseneck rockers? Wayne's nodding. He knows. One day his brother Glenn, he has two brothers, knocked on the door and he said, Glenn inherited the house. And he said, I'm cleaning out Daddy's shed and Mama's old gooseneck rocker's in there. Do you want it? We don't want it. Nobody wants it. Do you want it? And I went. And so Wayne refinished it and we had it reupholstered. And I can just sit in that rocker and I don't have to read. I don't have to meditate. I don't have to talk to God. I just can sit there and go, love that rocker. But that's not very profitable just to sit there. Is it? Huh? If you hold your feet up above the carpet, you won't get your toes hurt today. Is that all right? I heard a lady that was on stage a lot, and she said she had sleep problems and she couldn't stay awake, and she had learned to stay awake. She'd sit in her chair when she's not behind the podium and keep her feet up, not rest her feet on the carpet. She's that way you stay awake. Well, I tried that. You know, some things are hard when you first get started. Read every day. And then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now you're washed with the water of the Word, so the Word of God is the water. And when you're in your Bible, you're out to prosper and be in health. That's the promise. But you've got to get the promise in you. You've got to unfold that promise and bring it out to you. And then the water of the Word will cause you to grow and to mature. It said it'll cause you to bear fruit and your leaf will not wither. Let me see what the voice said, because I liked that. Your leaves will not fade or curl in the summer sun. That's amazing. Now, Paul said, I've planted, Paulus watered. You plant seed, that's the first time you've heard that word. When you water seed, we're watering it. That's what, when you meditate, you're watering the seed, you're watering the truth, you're watering what you heard. So that it comes to you. It's not that you have to memorize it. It's that when God begins to deal with you because you've read that scripture and read that scripture, it comes to you. It comes to you. It's amazing. Now look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That means I'm going to have it in your mouth as a part of the process of meditation. Means you're, everybody says read out loud, and I can't do that to save your life, but if you can do that, that would help you. They said that would help you. I'm not telling you that I've succeeded in that. But when I think of that, I quote the promise out loud. I said, oh, thank God, I'm going to prosper and be in health. Be in health, not be sick. Be in health, even as my soul is prospering. I'm walking in the Word. I'm a hearer and doer of the Word. And I'm not taking my advice from the sinner, the ungodly, or the angry man, not listening to them. This book of the law shall not depart out of you. Shall meditate. Meditate means to murmur. It means to speak to yourself. It means to study day and night. That means from dawn to dusk. That's just God's way of saying you're going to have to give this some time, some concentration. You're going to have to make this a priority. Now, You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not a morning person. Morning begins at noon. So, when you see me here, you can just praise the Lord. Wayne got me up this morning. He said, okay, go ahead and get dressed. He had the breakfast ready. That was good. I just follow orders till noon. Day and night that you may observe to do. You can't do what you haven't observed. When you observe, you're watching it, you're looking at it, you're reading it, you're quoting it over and over again. My favorite thing is when I'm in distress. And lost and in dismay, I bundle up my troubles and go to God and pray. I say, Lord, I am heartsick and lost and lonely too. Lord, I'm troubled. I don't know what to do. Well, one thing I do is take out my book of prayers. It's a conglomeration of prayers and categories. Here's all the scriptures. It's just scriptures on children. Here's all the scriptures on work. And here's all the scriptures on healing. And I take out and I read page one or two or three. It's about four pages of them. And I read it again. And then I read it again. And then I read it again. You know why I know what Isaiah 53 says? Because I read it so many times. And because I put it on to, I observed it. Now, my grandmother was a world champion dumpling maker. She was a Georgia cook. And I went over, as she's approaching the throne of glory, she's going to make dumplings, and I went to watch and to conquer. That didn't happen. I did watch. All I can remember, she's about 60 pounds, real tiny, and she'd say, now, Becky Sue, that's what they always call me, you got to use cold water. I don't know how many times she said, you got to use cold water. You got to use cold water. Wayne said, you learn how to make dumplings? I said, yes. You have to use cold water. That's what I knew when I left there. You have to use cold water. That's what I observed. The more you read, the more you meditate, the more you mutter, the more you observe, the more you know, the more you can plug into, the more you can bring into your situation. Observe to do according to, do you see it says according to all that's written? Do you know how much observation it's going to do according to all that's written? All that's written? All that's written? Do you know how long that's going to take? Your whole life you're going to have to observe to do. Now, Suzanne went over to my mother's. Mother had the coconut cake and potato soup, wasn't it? That she made differently than anybody else's potato soup. And so we wanted to conquer that. We were raised on that potato soup. And so I said, I will keep Ashley, I will babysit, because I'm not dumb. I will babysit and you go watch your grandmother make potato soup. So to this day, every now and then I say to Suzanne, wouldn't we like some granny's potato soup? Because I didn't observe, and I can't do it. And what you didn't observe, you can't do. Now look at James 1. It says, then they'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. And both of those words mean then you'll make wise decisions. How would you like to be, stupid or wise? I'm just asking. James 1. Then I'm going to show you. We read those scriptures, show you what's on the road besides healing and health. Hebrews James, Becky. Hebrews James. Verse 21, chapter 1 says, lay apart. That means, here's what I do. Here's my sheet. I looked all the translations up to see how they translated that. Lay apart. Here's some things we're going to ditch. We're going to ditch all these things. I mean, to lay apart, to get rid of, to put it away, to stop doing it, to leave it all behind, to abandon it, to throw it in the garbage, one translation says. And the other says to walk out on it. I got that from the translations. And there's an app that Suzanne will show you how to get that'll pull all those up for you. You don't have to work too hard. You don't have to have 10 Bibles to do that. Just one good computer. And then it says, you're going to lay all that aside. You're going to recognize that's not the direction we're going. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is generally translated the word that's planted. And how are we planting the word? By observing to do. And we're observing to do because we have benefits coming. Nothing's more confusing than government papers. We have certain papers we have to turn in at the end of the year. It's that season. I've been looking at them. They've been sitting on the counter in the kitchen. I go by and think, because it takes a lot of observation to figure out exactly what the government wants from me. We do, as much as possible, dot every I and cross every T. And then it says, receive the engrafted word, and what's the engrafted word? It's going to save your soul. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and walk in health, even as your soul prospers. A prosperous soul is a soul that's saved. It's a soul that's observed and meditating the word of God and knows what to do and depends on God to bring the answer. And then it said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. There's a lot of things I've heard, but I didn't really observe them. I didn't concentrate on them. I didn't go over and over them, so I can't remember. I mean, I did hear them. They said, did you read that? I said, well, yeah, I heard it. What? It's, tell me again now what it said. Do you do that? And then verse 25. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. No, keep looking. Keep observing. See, a lesson like this shows us our priority. Let me see. On the back of your sheet, the Good News Translation says, if you look closely at the perfect law that sets people free. It's going to set you free of bad health, of lack and financial insecurity. It's going to set you free if you observe and you follow your observation, you do something with it. If you look closely at the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it and not simply listen and forget it, put it into practice and you will be blessed by God in what you do. Now turn over to the first page. Let me show you the promises. Here's 3 John that we read. It says, dear friend, I pray all things are well with you and that your health is good and your mind is sharp, clear, and at peace. That's my favorite part. Your mind is sharp, clear, and at peace. You ever been confused? I found out what it means, we twain are one flesh. It takes two of us these days to get anything right. It's amazing how that works. Y'all didn't smile, but that's the truth. Now look at Romans. He that spared not his own son, is because you've been redeemed, because you've been reconciled, because your sins are remitted, because you have eternal life, because God is your Father, because he gave you a covenant, he keeps his covenant. He that spared not his own, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say all things but healing. See, there are vast numbers of churches that don't believe God heals today. He might heal an occasional person, but he doesn't heal everybody. And this verse says, the death and resurrection of our Lord provided healing, provided all things. All things. That's what it says. And the Williams translation says, since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him graciously give us everything else? In other words, it's yours. What's your first step? Observe, meditate, mutter, give it time. And then here's a similar one, 2 Peter 1:3. According to his divine power, that's the Holy Ghost, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. It said it comes to you through knowledge. That's it comes to you because you're observing the word of God. You're reading. You're meditating. You know it belongs to you. You want to make a deposit. Divine power gives us all things that pertain to life. And well, does health and healing pertain to life and godliness?
Yes.
Does it?
Yes.
And does it say he gave that to you?
Yes.
By the Holy Ghost? And is the Holy Ghost dwelling in you?
Yes.
So it belongs to you?
Yes.
And all you have to do is access it?
Yes.
You know what I think? You don't have to write this down. I think we're a little lazy.
Yeah.
This lady's going to teach her sons to pray. She had two boys. She's going to teach them to pray. And so they're going to pray 20 minutes. I thought that was a pretty hefty goal for kids, but okay. So she set the timer on the stove. She told me this. She set the timer on the stove. And they prayed in front of the stove. They kept going by. I mean, they weren't really into that. You know what I'm telling you? And one day, the timer on the stove went ding, ding, ding. And they just kept right on praying, kept right on praying, kept right on praying. And she watched a few minutes and she said, "Your time's up." And her son looked at her and he said, "I wasn't through." Look at the Phillips. He has, by his own action, given us everything that is necessary for living the truly good life. Giving us everything. Can you live a truly good life without health and healing?
No.
Allowing us to know the one who's called us to him through his own glorious goodness. And here's the last one. This is the blessings that belong to you, that you can read in the scripture and observe and make a word deposit and begin to speak that word, and this is what comes to you, everything pertaining to life. What does that leave out? Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings. Now, here's what religion does. They said, yeah, but healing is not a spiritual blessing. It's a physical blessing. Anything that comes from God is a spiritual blessing. God healed the sick, and he heals the sick. And it's every blessing that the spiritual world can bring to you belongs to you. Can God bring you health and healing? Then it belongs to you. All of these things, health, healing, prosperity, a successful life, good days, God said, "I wish above all things."